We desire your prayers. Now that last song, I believe, will go with my burden tonight. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, please. I don't know what you're expecting tonight, and this is probably a little different than what you're expecting, but I had this on my mind off and on for several days. I've had a burden for this meeting probably 2 months or better. So we desire your prayers that the Lord will have mercy and that the Almighty King will come down. I'm wanting Him. I'm needing Him. I desire Him. How about you? We need Him tonight. We need Him every second of every day, but we need Him in this meeting badly. We need Him because we don't know if there'll ever be another meeting. We don't know if there'll be another day. So we need the Lord tonight, right now. We need Him to visit us and to bless us and to help us. It says in the 6th chapter of Matthew, start reading the 5th verse. He said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." How much have you prayed for this meeting? My burden tonight is prayer. And the way we're going to have a good meeting is how. It's going to be prayed down. It's not going to just stumble along and fall out of heaven, so to speak. A good way or good reason why meetings are the way they are is because people have beseeched the throne. They have spent hours sometimes praying. They have begged and pleaded. They fasted. They prayed. They've reached out and so forth. But you know, we live in a busy time today, do we not? And why are you here tonight? Are you here to get a blessing, to be encouraged, to grow deeper, to be inspired, to be revived, be stirred, be challenged, be comforted, be healed, be saved, be sanctified? Are you here to socialize? Do we realize that about 6,000 people die per hour around the world? Now then, have you been praying for the lost, for this meeting, for the working of the Spirit in this meeting? People to be sanctified, people to be healed, people to be saved and so forth, people to come out. How much time have we spent begging God in prayer for this meeting? Now He says here in the 6th chapter of Matthew and up here in the 6th verse, 6 and 6, He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Listen, folks, today, if we're going to get anywhere, we're going to have to get in the closet. And I'm not talking about a literal closet. Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm talking about shutting everything out, getting into a real spirit of prayer with God. That may take a while. You can't do it sometimes. Just hop down on your knees and break 5 minutes and get up and run. You're going to have to get down there and sometimes fight the devil and work and labor for a while to even get in the spirit of prayer where you can really pray to get your answers through, so to speak. And tonight, this meeting, we need a lot of blessings in this meeting. We need to be deeper. We need to be inspired, revived. We need to be stirred and challenged. We need to be comforted. We need to be blessed. We need the Holy Spirit to come down. We need the King to pour out His glory right here in La Roger. We need Him to come down and work in a way, maybe like He hasn't worked in a long time. I don't know what your regular services are now, but I'm down here for this meeting. And tonight we need to pour out our hearts and beg and plead and go back to Father's praying ground and get there and stay there until the glory comes down. Praise God. One of the most conviction meetings I have ever been in was back in 1978, right down here. Well, it wasn't here, it was in Hammond. If you remember right, that's the fall we had the meeting at your place, the tent meeting, over Labor Day weekend. And then the next assembly meeting, now the tent meeting was good. I don't have no problem with it. It was glorious too. But that next assembly meeting was one of the most powerful conviction meetings I've ever been in my whole, well, it has been. I've never found one yet that was as powerful a conviction as it was in that meeting. And there was other meetings down here that's been extremely good. And I heard about one time and I thought, well, I'm going to call somebody that's here and see what they said. And I said, was it as good as this one? He said, no, not quite. It was good, but it wasn't that good, Brother Carl. It was good. Listen, folks, good meetings are paid down. And you and I need to shut ourselves up in our closet, praise God. And we don't need to do it once a week or once a month or once a year. We need to do it regularly on a real regular basis so we can have power, so we can have glory, so we can have what we need. We're in such a busy time, people, I wonder, are really being able to get out and get into and really get in their closet and prayer like they need to be. They're just kind of going along and just doing things. But I'm going to tell you, we need to do some real praying today. We need to pray for this meeting. We need to get the door shut. The devil shut out. Things in our minds shut out, and we need to pray to thy Father which is in secret. That the Father which is in secret, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. A part of that openly is right here in meeting. Now you may not, I mean others looking on may not know exactly what's going on, but you know, because you prayed it down. You know the Lord is pouring you out some real blessings because you have spent time in prayer. When Brother Lewis Kimball got saved, I know you've probably heard this many times, but he said he literally set himself up for 3 days in a closet, so to speak, and he fasted and prayed, and he stayed there until he got it, praise God. He didn't just do it easily. It took him a while, but he stayed there and he prayed. I know of another case where a man went down the basement and he wanted blessings, and he wanted the Lord to pour him out some glory, so to speak, and he told the Lord, he said, I'm not leaving here until I get it. And he got it. Tonight, shut yourself in the closet and pray. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. How many rewards do we want in this meeting? How many blessings do we want in this meeting? How much of the power do we want in this meeting? Do we really want to get something from God? Are we really interested in what the Lord has for us? I didn't come down here to socialize. I come down here for my soul. I come down here to do whatever God would have me to be and to do. And tonight, Lord, help us. We need to get in where we can be challenged and stirred. I'm not talking about a little stirring. I'm talking about a stirring that will move you to do something, praise God. Whatever it needs to be, whether it needs to be saved or sanctified, whether it needs to be move up, whether it needs to be move into a calling. There's a lot of times God begins to deal and call people and they're kind of slow to move, and I don't have no problem with that. But finally God gets to the point that He wants you to move, and sometimes you still don't want to go very far. And so the Lord needs to stir you up a little bit and get you fired up a little bit. Oh, tonight, can we get really stirred? Can we really be inspired? Can we really be encouraged and be challenged and stirred to get what God would have us to have? Oh, tonight, Luke the 6th chapter. We'll get an example from the Most High. 6 and 12 of the good book of Luke. When it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. Oh, the Lord. He didn't leave us an example of a 5-minute prayer. He left us an example. And you say, well, this is God in the flesh. It was, but he was in the flesh. He needed to pray too. He needed to get out and get a hold of the Father. He was fixing to choose. He was fixing to send out the men that was going to do some very, very mighty things for him in the future. And it wasn't no light thing for him to go up on that mountaintop and pray, because he had something. something that was going to affect generations all the way to the end of time in writing of books and preaching and so forth. He was going to have people that was going to do some powerful things. So consequently, he was picking and choosing his apostles, disciples, and he didn't take it lightly. Listen, folks, we're going to need to make some very serious decisions in our life as life goes on, and we don't need to approach it very serious, approach it lightly, but we need to approach it very seriously if it takes all night prayer, so to speak. Oh, tonight, Jesus left us a good example, did he not? Lord, help you and I to be willing to pray till we know. To be willing to pray till we understand. To be willing to pray till we get what God has got for us. Not be lighthearted. Not be just whatever. But get down to the bottom and say, Lord, I want to know the will of God. And I'm not going to quit till I get it. Praise God. I'm going to plead. I'm going to cry. I'm going to beg. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do whatever I need to do, Lord, to get the understanding of God. This is serious, Lord. It's a very major thing in my life. Jesus prayed all night. He got into a spirit of prayer and he stayed there. And then the men that he picked, how many of them men are a blessing to you tonight? How many of them men speak to you regularly? How many of the men that do the things and show us examples and so forth that you and I use regularly in reading and studying of the Word of God? Did not Jesus pick the right ones? Did not Jesus do the thing that needed to be done? But he done it because he prayed it down and he knew which ones to choose. All right, Mark, the first chapter, 35th verse. Another example of Christ. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Again, by himself, kind of shutting himself off from everybody else. Oh, tonight, it's not easy to do that sometimes. How many times have you gone to prayer and the phone had ring? How many times have you gone to prayer and the wife asked for something, or the husband asked for something, or the children asked for something? You're off trying to get into your closet, get into the spirit of prayer, and everything in the world seems to be happening. Not easy, is it? He got in a solitary place and he prayed. He was by himself. He was reaching out. He was desiring to, and it was in the morning. A morning's a good time to pray. A morning is get out, evening, noon, whatever, and we're going to cover that too. But get up and get woke up good and get down before the Lord and pour out your fresh, your revived, most gently, if you got a good night's rest anyway, and your revived and so forth, and you're wanting to get on the day. And that's what Jesus was doing. All right, let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and 55 and 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now here's the thing: the devil will come along and tell you that the Lord's not listening to you. Well, you don't hear your prayers. They ain't getting no higher in this ceiling in this room. You might as well just quit praying. But what's the Bible say? His eyes are what? Over the righteous. His ears are what? Open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So the Lord tonight is listening. He's seeing. He knows. He understands. He knows everyone. Prayer is simple, the sincere utterance of the heart. You don't have to voice anything. He sees what's pouring out of that heart. He sees what is going on. And listen, folks, you get out and cry for an hour and not say one word, and the Lord would hear that. He would understand that. He knows exactly what you're desiring, what your needs are, before you ever ask Him, bless your heart. But He wants you to put forth the effort. He wants you to reach out. He wants you to listen. A child that wants the parent, or the grandparent, or aunt, or uncle, or whatever, that's a real blessing. We was at a place. A little old boy, he said he wanted to know what my name was. And so, his mama told him, said, go in there and talk to him. And he come in there, and she also told him, said, give him a hug. And boy, I like that. I just flat reached down and picked him up And I said, "What's your name?" He told what his name was. I told him what my name was, and he gave me a good hug, and I put him down, and off we went. But I got my hug. I got some affection, so to speak, out of this little sweetheart of a boy, so to speak. And the Lord likes you and I to do Him that way. He likes you to reach out to Him. He wants you to beg, to plead, to cry. Somebody said one time, said, "Well, you mean you beg Him? You plead?" I said, "Sure we do. We beg the Lord. We plead with Him. We cry. Whatever we need to do to get our prayers through, praise God. Evening and morning and noon will I pray. Today, Lord, help us to pray and pray like the Lord would have us to. And cry aloud." All right, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Somebody said, "Well, you can't do that." You can be in a spirit of prayer about all the time. And that's what that scripture is really getting into. Pray without ceasing. Be in a spirit of prayer. Reaching out to God. And there's times that people pray and they're working, or people pray when they're traveling or whatever, and they're not on their knees or whatever, but their souls are reaching out to God. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to reach out to Him and plead with Him and beg Him. "Lord, I need You. I need Your blessings. I need Your grace. I need Your strength. I need Your wisdom. I need Your help." And you're reaching out to God. Maybe somebody needs to be saved in the family. Maybe somebody needs to be healed. And you're just in a spirit, such a burden, such laboring and begging God to reach down and touch and to work and to move with that individual. That's what we need, folks. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to reach out to God in every way that we can for this meeting. Good meetings are prayed down. They don't just come along and happen, so to speak. They're prayed down. We need to pray, and we need to do a lot of praying. The devil is fighting us harder now. Well, where is that scripture? All right, I'll find it here. Hold on a minute. I think I will anyway. Second Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Are we not in that now? That word perilous, what does that mean? Dangerous, partially. We're in dangerous times. Have you ever seen a worse time than we really live in now? Some of you younger ones might not, but we didn't used to have the school shootings and the stuff that back years ago. One of the first mass shootings that ever happened in the United States that I know of happened right in Edmond, Oklahoma at the post office. And an old boy come in there and he killed several that day. He shot them down. That was one of the first. And then you might go a long time before something else happened. It's happening almost every week now, and sometimes almost every day. We live in dangerous times. I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't walk out of your house without praying, because you don't know if you'll ever go back. You don't know what might happen to you. You don't know. You could be killed in a car wreck, but you could be flat gunned down on the street. Drive-by shootings or something that happened on a real regular basis now. Dangerous times. We need to pray because we're in dangerous times. All right, let's go to James 5. 5 and 13. 5 and 13 of James. "Is any among you afflicting? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And then the 16th verse said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." The 12th chapter of Romans in the 12th verse, 12 and 12, says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue an instant in prayer." Now, is any among you afflicted? When you get afflicted for pretty easy to play sometimes, isn't it? You're hurting. You need help. You want to be healed. You want to be blessed. You want to be helped. So it's pretty easy to pray when you can. I mean, you can get so sick you really can't pray, but I'm talking about on an area where you can. In other words, you're not too sick, you can't pray. You're pouring out. Well, in a sense, we're afflicted, in a sense now, a lot. We are afflicted by need of God. If I never have said this, so Lord help me here. And we need to reach out. We need to pray and beg Him to help us and to work with us in every way. And then He goes on down and said the effectual fervent prayer. Confess your faults. If you got any faults, good time to confess them is confess them. Confess them during a meeting, confess them regular services, whatever. But confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And He said then the effectual. What is effectual? Well, according to the commentators, you'd think one way, but it's not exactly what you might think it is. It's got life to it. It's got power to it. It's not a dead, dry prayer. It has got some pouring out in it, so to speak. And if I get in the right spot in this book, it'll read right. Never fails. Powerful is a heartfelt supplication of a righteous man. The prayers of the righteous have a powerful effect. But great is the power of a good man's fervent prayer. Lord, help us when we get to praying that we don't just, like I said, have a 5-minute stale prayer. Get down to business. Pour it out like it's your last prayer that you're ever going to pray. And get down to business before God and say, Lord, have mercy. If you knew you was going to die and you wasn't ready, what would you do? If you knew you was going to get killed and you're saved, would you just do nothing or would you pray? See, reach out to God. Let that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That has been something that has blessed people all down through the years because they poured their heart out and they were serious, they were sober, they were righteous, they were pleading with God, and they weren't just a 5-minute nonchalant prayer. They had a reason and they were getting after it with everything they could. So Lord, help us to put our all into it in this meeting. How much have you prayed for this meeting? How much are you stirred up about this meeting? Now I'm going to say something that will probably be the most unpopular quote of the whole meeting. But do you ever get tired of 2 meetings a year? Woo, don't say that, brother. Meetings are a lot of work. It's a lot of work to have 1 meeting, but to have 2 of them, that's double work. And some people, you know, you get tired of things. But it said, be not weary in well-doing, doesn't it say? So if you're getting a little weary and a little tired, my challenge to you tonight is get some praying going. Get some praying going till the Lord fires you back up, so to speak, in desire for the meeting, desire for yourself, desire that you might get help for you. Instead of just reaching out to anything else, reach out to God. Reach out and say, Lord, I need you. I need you badly. I want you in every way. Mark the 11th chapter. Pray without ceasing. Mark 11:24 of Mark. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. John 14. I hadn't thought about this scripture. But John 14:13. 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a story of this was during the war, Civil War if I remember right, and there was a banker that had a son that had to go in the war. And this banker began to do everything he could to assist the war, until he actually about got himself in trouble, financially maybe, and otherwise he was putting so much into it that he actually had to pull back. And so his son had a very good friend that was wounded in the war. And so the son sent this young man to the father, not knowing that the dad had pulled back some, because you didn't have cell phones back then. You didn't have all the news coverage and everything. And so consequently, he didn't know that dad had pulled back a little bit. So he sent this boy up there. So his boy walked into the man's office and he began to plead with him to help him. And he said, well, son, I'm pulling back. I'm not helping anymore, or not as much. And said, I just can't help you right now. And the son reached in his pocket and he pulled out a note. And the note was from the son. And the son asked for the help and signed it. I don't know if it said, your son, Jack, or whatever. And he handed that to the father. What do you think that happened then? Listen, folks, when we approach God in the name of the Son, that Son is on the right hand of God. That Son is on the throne of grace that said, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. He wants us to approach in the name of the Son. He wants us to approach Him. And He said, therefore I send you what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now that's a pretty powerful scripture. How is our faith tonight to receive what we need? How are we really praying? Are we really getting down? Are we really believing? Are we getting what God wants us to? Are we reaching out with everything we've got? Lord, I need this. I want this. This is mine. In the name of the Son, Father, I'm coming to you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, the father helped the boy and took care of him and got him back on his feet, and he went back to the war, I believe it was. But all because the son wrote a note, said, Daddy, help him. Daddy, help him. Father gave the son, but the son gave his life. And they worked as a team. And they worked and they labored and they worked together in perfect harmony and unity in every way. And the son sought the father blessed the son, and they worked together day and day and day after day after day. And look at what they accomplished. And He wants to do more now for us, but you're going to have to do it in the name of the Son. You're going to have to reach out. You're going to have to pour yourself out into it. But ask it. And instead, when you pray, believe. How is our faith to believe that somebody that we're praying for will get saved? He said there in the scripture there, He brings out the point. It said, let's see, how's that go? He said, He is not... Oh, help me here. He is not... I can't quote it. I quoted it early in my mind, but I can't quote it. 1 Peter, I think it is. Or maybe it's 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not willing that any man perish. He wants everybody to be saved. Jesus gave an extremely high price that you and I be saved. And you've got it, we've got it, but Lord, help us that we reach out to others that they may have what we've got. That same joy that Brother Purvis was talking about. That same glory that they were talking about. The same blessings that they were talking about. The same truth that we've got. The Lord wants to share it with everybody, praise God. And we're going to do that by believing. We're going to do that by reaching out. We're going to do that by praying, and praying hard. Listen, folks, the devil's at the end of time, and he's working triple time to stop everybody he can. He'll do anything he can to stop a soul. It may take him years to trap somebody, but he'll work years to get one soul. He'll work years to stop. He'll do anything he can to stop you in any way. But Lord, help us tonight to believe, because the Lord wants everybody to come. Everybody to be saved. Matthew 17 and 21. Matthew 17 and 21. Prayer. How much praying have we done for this meeting? Have we prayed during the day when we've been working? Are we praying when we're cooking, when we're driving, when we're at school or whatever? Are we really beseeching God for the Lord to help us in this meeting? Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now sometimes we're going to have to take an extra step, and that's fasting. How much fasting have we done for this meeting? And I'm not talking about maybe just skip one meal. But I'm talking about getting our hearts and our minds into it. Really getting into it. Because the end of time is perilous or dangerous times, and the devil's doing everything he can to shut us down. So consequently, we're going to have to labor that much more to get what we want done. And the devil's everywhere. Brother Salmon said he was in South Carolina. Not at Holly Hill, but I can't think of the name of that place. I've never been there, but I've been close to it. Well, I might have been in the town one time. Better back up on that. But anyway, he was there and he was holding a meeting. And he said one night, he said he got to listening and said there was a man over here on his right barking like a dog. He said another night he looked and he said he looked and every window in that chapel had something looking into the building. He said it was devils everywhere. People were devil possessed and they were just looking and they were trying to do everything they could do to shut the meeting down. But he wouldn't quit. Him and Sister Verna went to overdrive, so to speak. And I don't know just what all he said, but I can about imagine he put his all into it. He said the Lord turned that thing around and started pouring them out some blessings and some glory. People started coming to the altar one after another. People got delivered. People got saved. They got sanctified. They got blessed and helped. But it didn't come just because Brother Samuel laid down and said, well, Sister Verna, this is going to be an easy meeting. Let's just take it easy now. No, he put his heart into it. He desired that people would get help. He saw the bad thing that was going on. It wasn't just an easy meeting, so to speak. It was very, very serious. And he was pouring out everything. And he said the Lord rewarded them. It's coming by prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you, we need to do some fasting. We need to do some real praying. We need to get down into it in a depth where that people know that we're under a burden, that we're pouring everything into it we've got. There's people that enter into sales contests, so to speak, and the further it goes, if everything is going real, real good, one thing, but if they kind of get behind, they rev it up toward the end, don't they? And they do everything they can do to make the goal that they're after, whatever that might be. And they work that much harder. It's money, see? It's prestige. It's whatever it is. Well, the bottom line is, folks, we need to be after souls, so to speak. We need to be reaching out and begging and pleading. We have got people right here in this right in this area that need salvation. You take New Orleans, Houston, L.A., Miami, Chicago, Detroit. You take those major cities that have 3 and 4 million people in them. That's 3 and 4 million, and I about wonder what would be the percentage of people being saved there. What would it be? Probably pretty small. So that means if you're going to, Charles Wesley used to go and preach, what, 3 times a day? 4 times a day? I read a book that Sister Vudna loaned me one time, an old-timer, and he sometimes would pray for hours on end. He would literally sometimes be walking in the woods and he would find an open old hollowed out log and he literally would climb up in that log and pray and pray and pray. One time there was somebody who needed to be healed And he said, something was said, he said, well, I prayed 17 hours for this. And they said, why did you have to pray 17 hours for this woman's healing? Where's your faith? He goes, I prayed 15 hours for me and 2 hours for her. We need help, folks. We need to get our faith, our belief. We need to get fired and inspired and challenged and stirred, whereby that when we get ourselves taken care of, then we can reach out and touch the throne. Then when the healings will come, then the blessings, the salvation, the sanctification, the glory will roll if you and I will get us in order. Right now, I'm pleading with the Lord to help me in any way I need. It says, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me. No, I ain't quoting that right. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why don't we just take it, open up, so to speak. Say, Lord, what do I need? What do I need? I need You, Lord. I need more of You. Whatever You need. That man reached out after God, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he talked about places he climbed into, and I honestly don't know how he done it. But he would get up in those logs, and he would get in very tight, close places and pray for hours and hours, even go to sleep there, and wake up there. And he may go back there two or three times, two or three days. He'd be holding revival meetings. And he was doing everything he could. He'd go out there, just him and the Lord and the wild animals, so to speak. And he would pour his heart out and the glory would flow. The blessings would come. The power would come down. People would get blessed and saved. He said one time there was a place where that he went in and held a meeting. And it was a Babylonian situation, I guess it was. And he was bringing the truth out, and I guess the opposition started, and he started calling for fasting and prayer, and they went up, I believe, in the attic and prayed. And he said the people, just after a while, the thing began to break down, and people began to pour out their hearts and begin to pray and pray and pray and fast and pray and get saved and get sanctified and get blessed. He said the Lord tore the whole thing apart and redone it, so to speak. But they had to pray. They didn't just go in there and get it real easy. They had to pray. And they had to pray some more. And they had to pray some more. Why, you're making me tired. Well, maybe I am. But Lord, help us to get fired up in this meeting. Help us to get fired up to where we're pouring out and begging and fasting and pleading. Whatever we need to do. I want to see that person saved. How bad do we want to see them saved? Are we willing to do what it takes to see them get saved? Are we willing to fast and pray, plead and cry and beg, stay up maybe part of the night? Brother had quite a meeting at Guthrie here. I don't remember just when it was. It hadn't been too long back. And it said something to Brother Philip. And he said, well, he said, I think it comes from the fact that we've done a lot of all-night praying, Brother Carl. And we've done a lot of fasting. And we poured out for day after day after day after day. And he said we went after for about 2 weeks and the glory rolled, folks. Oh, the blessings was there. It was a rich meeting. And it'd be good to see all meetings that way. Good meetings are prayed down, thank the Lord. Let's go to Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians 4 and 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, how many of you are praying for the ministers that's going to be in this meeting? It'd be good, in some ways, if everybody would try this at least one time. Get in this pulpit and see what it'd be like. The pressure that we press against sometimes in trying to deliver the word, the devil fighting us every step of the way nearly. And so consequently, if you really knew what it would like to get up here and do, and sometimes it looks so easy, but you don't know the hours that goes into every message sometimes. You don't know the prayer that goes into every message, all the studying that goes into it. All that is on the minister's side, but you've got a part too. Brother Leslie preached a message one time about coming to meeting, being tuned up, or entuned in the Spirit. Maybe that's what it was. And so, today, when we come to meeting, do we come praying for that service? Do we come praying, Lord, pour us out a blessing? Lord, help brother, whoever's going to preach, whoever's going to pour it out, Lord, help him. Pray for him. One person come up to Sister Rebecca one time, and they've been listening to radio on a Sunday morning, and they was telling some things, and the person said, you need to pray for your pastor. And she come up to Rebecca like she had never thought she needed to pray for the pastor. Never. And Becky told me, listen folks, the ministers need your prayer desperately that we may be able to open up the mysteries, be able to open up and declare to you the whole truth and nothing but the truth and not water it down in any way, but pour out everything God would have it, because the devil wants to water it down, but we got to fight that and bring everything out. And sometimes that's not easy. So Lord, help us tonight. That God would open unto us a door of utterance. The devil liked to shut every minister's mouth. He wants to stop us in every way he can. How much do you pray? Do you have any special prayer just before service at your home? I'm not talking about here particularly. Do you have special prayer at home just before you leave to go to meeting? Gather people in and pray. Oh, tonight, the Lord wants us to pray, folks. He wants us to pray more. He wants us to beg and plead that He pour us out some glory in this meeting. Right now, 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Let's wrap it on up here in a few moments. At first, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. First of all, when it's first, what does that mean? Isn't that number one, so to speak? First of all, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. He wants it all now. He's not leaving anything out. But be made for all men. There is going to be, and I haven't calculated it out in my mind, but there's going to be, if you take 24 hours and multiply that by 6, would be what?
I can't quite multiply that and do this too.
But anyway, you realize that that many people is going to go out into eternity. In 24 hours. Whatever that figure is. All right, now then, think about this. There's some of those that are going to die on the operating table. There's some of those that are going to die in their sleep. There's some of those going to be killed in car wrecks, plane crashes, operating rooms, in all types of accidents, in the war, in terrorist attacks. Some's going to be gunned down in frivolous shootings and so forth. And you think that in 24 hours' time, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to go out. Have you ever found somebody dead? That died in their sleep? You think about it, folks. They went to bed, and one of them I've dealt with was saved. and called me for prayer, possibly not very long before she breathed her last breath. And the other one was a worldly woman that was in the stock business that lived in a big old house in Nichols Hills there, and she died in her sleep. And think about it, they go to bed, and they go to sleep, and they wake up in eternity. Think about that. They wake up in eternity. They never get a chance to pray. They die, and they're gone. Think about that. That first case, I was the one that found this woman. I didn't walk into the house, but I was the one that alerted authorities that there possibly was something wrong with Mary Ann. And the same way with Sister Janice, too. But it had a great impact on me for days that Mary Ann went to sleep and she woke up in eternity. Had no chance to pray. Had no chance to repent or whatever she needed to do. She had no chance at all. She stepped out and met God, folks. That's serious. And you know that could be some of that thousands that's going to die in 24. Do you know that they could do that? It's happened. It's happened over and over. Sister Janice Porter died last summer. She called me just about midnight. And she said, I need prayer. Said, I can't breathe very well. I could tell she couldn't breathe very well. I couldn't hardly understand part of the things she was saying because she was gasping and so forth. And we had prayer for her. And I said, Sister Janice, if you need me, Father, call me. We will come. Whatever we need to do. Well, I never heard anything from her. I prayed for her some more. And eventually went back to sleep. And the next morning I thought, I need to check on her. Well, I called her the first time and I didn't get any response, but I knew that she took her dog and went walking. So I didn't get alarmed. But the second time I called and didn't get no response, I got alarmed. And sure enough, when five of us walked in there, she was gone. She was laying right there. She was on the couch. Looked like she was getting ready to come up. She had one this leg off. Like she was fixing to push herself up and come up off the couch. And I happened to stumble onto somebody in the congregation that talked to her about 10, between 8:30 and 10, I believe it was. And they had talked, and I said, was she having any trouble then? Yeah. And they told her then, it's your heart. Oh, no, it's not. It's not my heart. Ain't no way it's my heart. Well, I don't know what took her life, folks, but she was dead. She stepped out to be with the Lord. I had confidence in her. And she stepped out. But Mary Ann, I don't know. You know, I don't have that type of witness, so to speak. But they're going out into eternity in all kind of ways. They go under anesthetic. Of course, in that kind of case, at least they know there's a chance that they'll not come out alive. They know there's a chance. They could pray before they go under that anesthetic, but do some of them do it? And they step out. Should we pray? Should we pray for people that are going to be going out into eternity by the thousands? Should we not pray for those that are going to be going out into eternity and they have 24 hours left? Should we not, Lord, have mercy and deal with them over and over and over in that time period? Because, Lord, they don't have much time left. We need to pray, don't we? We need to beg. Who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to have exactly what you and I have. It said this is good and acceptable. Prayer is acceptable to God. It's a good thing in the sight of God, our Savior. It's a good thing to do that. Lord, help us tonight that we pour out our hearts unto the Lord, that we pour out our souls, so to speak, that we get under a real burden for mankind and reach out to God over and over because, folks, we're in the very last of the last days. Isaiah 66 and 7, two more scriptures, and I'll be through. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. In other words, there was some work to be done. It didn't just happen easily. There was a lot of praying, a lot of fasting, a lot of begging, a lot of pleading. Before the great day of Pentecost, there was a lot of praying going on, wasn't there? And somebody said, well, that was just for them. Maybe it was. But there was still a lot of prayer, and they was in unity, and they was reaching out, and they were doing everything they could do because they knew something was going to happen, and they might not have realized exactly what was going to happen, but once the Holy Ghost come down and them men got fired up by the Spirit of God, they took off like a racehorse, so to speak. And they was preaching and teaching and doing. Some of them opened their mouths and they brought out, they thought they're drunken and all kinds of things, all kinds of accusing, but they weren't. They were just doing what God wanted them to do. All right, in 5 and 8 of Revelations, in closing, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. It is such a blessing to God. And it's a blessing to people down the line that you have prayed for. There is children and grandchildren. There was a woman one time I was told about, this has been a number of years ago, was at a funeral, was at the graveside, and they got to talking about a certain lady that had been saved back years before that and lived for God and so forth, and said she liked to get off in the bushes, so to speak, and pray. And said she would come out of there shouting a lot of times because she would pray through and the Lord would bless her soul and she'd just come out of there on fire, they said. And it is a great blessing down the line to know that grandmama and grandmama prayed for you. Or grandpa and grandma prayed for you. Or maybe mom and dad. And there's been things said that, well, mother come in the night and laid their hands on the bed or on the child and prayed for them. Or maybe while the children was at school, they were had their hand on the bed praying, Lord, deal with their souls. Call after them. Deal with them. It said, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. All those things full, lots of, plenty. How many vials would we fill up with our prayers, or have we filled up with our prayers? Would it be something that the Lord really would take notice of? Wasn't it Cornelius, or the one that Peter went to see? The Lord took attention to that, did He not? He took attention to that man. And He spoke to him, and you're being heard, you're being seen, your petition's being received, I'm going to bless you. And He did, didn't He? And because this was a righteous man, and he prayed a lot, if I remember the story right, without pulling it up, he prayed a lot, and God paid attention to that. He wants you to pray and pour out your soul. The Lord wants to bless you. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. I pray.